forecast, mostly cloudy today, the high 41. Cloudy tonight with a bit of snow and rain at times, not really amounting to that much, low 32 to 36. Tomorrow, cloudy, a couple of snow showers, the high temperature 41. Thursday, mostly cloudy and breezy with a snow shower, high 35. It'll be colder after that. The period from Friday through Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will not be extremely cold, but nights will be in the upper teens and 20s, and days probably staying at or below freezing in the afternoon hours. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. We've got cloudy conditions throughout southeast Wisconsin. It is 36 in Kenosha, 35 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 38 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, 36 degrees. The wind is out of the northwest at 5 miles an hour. The wind chill is freezing. So is the dew point. The relative humidity, 85%, and the barometric pressure is steady as she goes at 29.90. It's 13 minutes after 10 o'clock. It is a tremendous Tuesday morning. Hope you enjoyed our talk with Rich Cohn. And coming up momentarily in studio, we have David Hallman, who is the Kenosha County Board Supervisor from the mighty 7th District. Mr. Hallman is African-American and gay, and he's planning to introduce a resolution condemning violence and hate crimes against religious minorities and others. Fascinating guy. It ain't going to be boring. But first, let's enjoy some Piano Man together, shall we? With a very interesting perspective from Billy Joel. He believes, and he sings, Only the Good Die Young on your radio friend.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. When young, only the good die young.
Want to give your mind a thrill ride? Fasten your metal seatbelt, then gently turn up your radio from 9 till 2. Glenn Klein will be on WRJN. And chances are, your life will never be the same.
Capitals, Cool Jerk. Well, I've been called worse on your radio, friend. It's 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package. Glenn Klein in the studio with my tag team partner on Tuesdays and Thursdays Community Conversation, Mr. Mark Eichhorst. Good morning, Ike.
Good morning, Glenn. Glad to be in the studio with you again.
Good to have you. You know, it's National Compliment Day.
It is.
Yes. And I paid the great Tom Carco, our award-winning news director, a high compliment saying that he's the best. I've never heard anybody better at what he does than what he does for 37 years.
And he's very good.
And then I paused because usually when you give a compliment, especially on National Compliment Day, you receive one back.
There
was a lot of dead air. Let's just put it that way. Also joining us is the supervisor from the Mighty 7th District in Kenosha County on their board, Mr. David Hallman. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I am super excited to be here. Thank you for the invite.
We are super excited to have you. And David is African-American. He is gay and proud.
Pride is a very interesting thing right now. Maybe we can kind of go into that later and kind of get people to start thinking about how they want to define that and conceive of that. It's different for everybody.
Why did you respond to my saying that you were gay and proud that way?
Sometimes I think, you look at some of the things going on with LGBT and you go, great, there's progress there. That's wonderful. And you look at some of the things going on with people of color, and sometimes you wonder, not so much. Sometimes I walk into a room, people are all in on LGBT, but when it comes to people of color issues, they don't want to touch it. So sometimes one thing works well for folks and another does not. And you have to realize that every day you're living in sometimes two different camps.
How different is the response to somebody being gay in the African-American community as opposed to, let's just say, the white community?
That's a complicated question. To a certain extent, I think it depends on where you are. Certainly, culture and religion play a huge factor into that. I would say that President Obama's support for marriage equality definitely moved the needle and helped significantly. But you also saw when he did that, an awful lot of black pastors come out and say, we're not going to support him for a second term. And so there was a lot of conversation in the black religious community. Where people are now, I think everyone kind of understands that there's a much bigger threat and there's the need for people to recognize one another's humanity. So a lot of things that were piddling nonsense, you know, before are now even much more piddling nonsense now.
Where'd you grow up?
Grew up actually in Racine before moving to Kenosha once I started college. So I know both communities very well. Graduate of Racine Lutheran High School, 2003.
So is Mark Eichhorst.
Yep. Crusaders.
The Mighty Crusaders.
Yep.
They won the other night. Did you
yes,
see that?
Yes, they did. I heard you talking about them.
What's your age graduate?
2003.
2003. So that puts you at about, what, 32?
Enough years away that they can ask me for money.
And they do?
I haven't seen a letter yet, but you never know. I'm sure there's one coming in the mail.
They're coming, yeah. Trust me.
And then what had you move from Racine to Kenosha?
Just once I started college, had a falling out with my mother, actually over coming out of the closet, spent a few nights in my car, had to pretty much unenroll in school, half enroll in school, and try to get my life back on track. And Kenosha just so happened to be where I ended up.
How old were you when you knew you were gay?
I told her on Super Bowl Sunday of, I want to say it was 2004. I remember Janet Jackson having the wardrobe malfunction, and you know, my brother was hanging out with some folks from church at their house. So it was just my mother.
So when the wardrobe malfunction didn't do anything for you, that's when you knew you were gay?
Nah, I didn't even get to see it. The TV went off, and I said, Mom, I have something to tell you. And I told her, and she didn't take it well.
So you're about 18 at that point.
Yeah.
But when did you know?
I would probably say maybe like 6 months before I told her. I mean, any kind of same-sex attraction was just not something that could even be considered in my household growing up. I remember getting something from the refrigerator once to make a sandwich, and I turned to my parents and, you know, looked at them and asked them a question, and my wrist actually went limp. And they flipped out and jumped off the couch and came running over me. And it wasn't until I was in a viola lesson in college trying to perfect my bowing technique, my professor's going, why doesn't your wrist bend? Why doesn't your wrist bend? Why doesn't your wrist bend? And then I remembered what had happened.
Wow. And how is your relationship with your folks now?
Still in recovery, but it is getting better on a daily basis. But it's taken a very long time.
How important is it for somebody who sees homosexuality still as a sin. And there's one passage in the Bible that calls it an abomination, which is something that we could talk about some other time. But for people that are still in that mindset, how important is it for them once they have a loved one or a friend that comes out? How much does that change their viewpoint usually?
That depends. I mean, some people tend to cling to religion and say, you know, this is what matters. But I think what's important for everybody right now is that if you have friends, if you have family, if you have really anyone, that whether they're LGBTQ, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Black, whether they're straight, whether they're Latino, acknowledging one another's humanity and not having any ill will for that person and believing that they're entitled to justice and love just like everyone else. And that supersedes everything. That supersedes your race. That supersedes your religion. That supersedes your income. That supersedes your political ideology. And fundamentally, that's what's most important. And everyone has to remember that.
He's David Hallman. He is the supervisor of the 7th District from the Kenosha County Board. How did you end up getting that gig?
It's a story I probably shouldn't tell.
No, but now you have to tell.
Yeah, I realize that. I was at UW-Parkside as president of Rainbow Alliance, and we were working on trying to put together the first LGBT center that would represent Southeast Wisconsin in Racine and Kenosha. And there was someone there that I had thought was very attractive and was asking them for a date. They wouldn't tell me yes or no. And finally, they looked at me and they said, would you like to come to a Democratic Party meeting? Well, I don't care much for political parties. I prefer to just walk up to you and ask you what you think and what you want done. But I agreed. I went, and we were there standing in the back of the room, and he says, what's your address? And I told him. He says, hold on. I think your county board supervisor's here, something I'd never heard of before in life. He walks away, and he brings over this lady, and she introduces herself. She says, I'm retiring, and I think you should run for my seat. He immediately goes, I'll be your campaign manager. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Well, that person disappeared for another 4 years as soon as they said that. And I never, ever did get my date. So
you didn't get a date out of the deal even?
No.
Nor a campaign manager?
No, I did not.
Bought a county seat.
but you got the county seat. When were you elected?
Spring of 2008.
Uh-huh. And how do you like it?
I enjoy it for what it could be. I like helping people. I like talking to people and finding out what it is that they want and they're concerned about. And I'll sit and talk with whomever for as long as they want. That's the best part about it. That really is.
Well, one of the things that Davin is involved in is introducing a resolution condemning specifically of violence and hate crimes against the religious minorities and others that you mentioned in the litany of groups. And when we come back after the potentially award-winning newscast of the great Tom Carco, we'll be talking about that and many other things with Davin Hallman, who is the supervisor from the mighty 7th District of the Kenosha County Board, coming up momentarily.
Hey, did you hear Sandy was diagnosed with lung cancer?
I did, but she doesn't even smoke.
Her doctor said that
it's mostly cloudy today at the high 41. Cloudy tonight with a bit of snow and rain at times, not really amounting to that much, low 32 to 36. Tomorrow, cloudy, a couple of snow showers, the high temperature 41. Thursday, mostly cloudy and breezy with a snow shower, high 35. It'll be colder after that. The period from Friday through Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will not be extremely cold, but nights will be in the upper teens and 20s, and days probably staying at or below freezing in the afternoon hours. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJF.
Thank you, EA. Cloudy conditions prevail in southeastern Wisconsin. It's 36 in Kenosha, 34 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 38 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine. Cloudy skies and 36 degrees. It is 26 minutes until 11 o'clock. It is a tremendous Tuesday, and we are going to continue our tremendous community conversation with David Hallman on the other side of WRJN covering sports.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Deb Carson.
The triple-doubles continue for Russell Westbrook.
Russell skips across the timeline with 6 seconds left behind an Adams pit. Here's Russell.
You
Bay City Rollers on your radio front. It's 20 minutes to 11 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. Glenn Klein with Community Conversations. Mark Eichhorst, are you looking for some yucks, beautiful humans? Then I can think of no other place to go than the Racine Theater Guild, because they are producing the hilarious comedy Exit Laughing, and it runs weekends all this month. Connie Leona and Millie and Mary have been bridge partners for years, and when Mary passes away, the three remaining friends do what's logical. They steal Mary's urn. That's when the hilarity really ensues. Exit Laughing is a comedy about friendship lost and living life to the fullest. Visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets. We had local political activist Ken Brown in here yesterday, and he saw Exit Laughing. He says, very funny.
Yeah, I talked to somebody that went to that play also and said they did exactly what the play says. They exited laughing. And enjoyed your interview with Ken Brown yesterday. Listened to almost the entire interview.
Sharp dude. Another sharp dude is David Hallman. He is the supervisor of the Mighty 7th District and the Kenosha County Board. And you like to go to the theater?
I have been a number of times. Growing up in Racine, it was a good place to be.
This community conversation is being brought to you in part by St. Monica's Senior Living. So before the great Tom Carco's potentially award-winning newscast at the bottom of the hour, we started talking about this resolution that you want to bring forth at the Kenosha County Board, basically condemning violence and hate crime specifically targeted towards minorities, including, I would imagine, gay people, African-Americans, Hispanics, Muslims.
It is principally religious minorities, but really it's everybody.
So would that include Jewish people?
Absolutely. I have, or at least had, I probably still do, although I think they moved after they got their Torah stolen. The only evangelical sect of Jews, the Chabad Jews, actually had a synagogue in my district. Now, some of everyone lives in my district.
Is that how you got elected?
I'll be honest, I was really surprised going door to door. The people who were the most supportive were elderly white senior citizens, which really surprised me.
Why do you think they were so supportive?
As one guy said to me in terms of signing my paperwork, he said, "You can't do any worse." And at the time, I was like 22. So, you know,
You're adorable. So there's no way that people could turn you down when you come to their door.
They can, and sometimes they do. So adorable doesn't cut it for everybody.
Well, that's what President Trump said to the African-American community. What the hell do you have to lose?
And a lot would you put up somebody that Coretta Scott King has said was an enemy of her and her husband and her friends. So the answer to President Trump is no.
But Martin Luther King III, Coretta Scott King, and MLK Jr.'s son just met with the president while he was in the Trump Tower still.
I think it is wise for every person in America to listen to the ghosts of history and pay attention to that and follow that wisdom. Simply because some individuals who maybe have familial ties in the present moment have strayed from that, I don't think that's the way to go.
David, we've talked about the 7th District. Where is the 7th District? What are the boundaries?
Boundaries would be roughly from 30th Avenue. If you head east, the Metro train tracks. If you go north, I would say Holy Rosary. If you head south, 63rd Street. So it's really the inner city of Kenosha. It's the heart of Kenosha.
How many citizens?
About 7,000.
7,000. And do you live in the 7th District?
We have to by law, and I'm proud to do so. So, yes.
Okay. So where does the resolution stand, and what has the process been since you announced at the board meeting that you wanted to do this?
It's been written. It has been submitted and will be placed on a county board agenda for the county board chair to delegate to a committee that she shall choose to look at the item. They'll vet it. They'll discuss it. Most likely take a vote. Hopefully it comes out. Hopefully it comes to the floor. Hopefully it comes to a vote and passes. I have a good track record, so I'm not overly confident, but I'm confident.
What is the machinations within the board of Kenosha County to get this thing passed, and where does it stand right now?
I don't typically look at mechanics. I think more about my community. What does my community need? And how can I best position myself to make that argument and make that case? And it's up for everybody else in that room where they stand to hear that and decide whether or not it has merit. And I've been very fortunate at that. You know, like I said, I'm not overly confident, but I am confident.
Well, what has been the response of your colleagues on the county board?
Interest by some. I would say shame from others and shock and horror from, maybe some of the rest. I told them when I submitted, I said, you have KKK sympathizers and you have skinheads in this community. They're in my district. They don't open the door for me. They don't take my literature, but they're there. And you treat everybody, whether they voted for you or not, they are a constituent. You listen to them. You care for them. You love them. You respect them.
How do you know they're there?
Well, you can tell by the Confederate flags. You can tell by, there's a bar that almost on a monthly basis has concerts that skinheads attend. And I have had friends who have other friends that go there. Former music director, there's a good friend of mine at Grace Lutheran Church who just left to take another job. He decided he was out one night and wanted to get a drink and accidentally stumbled into the middle of it and then came and found me and told me. This was not something that I was aware of when I took office. There are people who have been in public office in the past in Kenosha who are well aware of this as a problem. This is where I stand on this very firmly, and that is very simply this. If this problem exists in your community, it exists because you allow it. And so the people who live there have to say no and push back because it's really a threat to everybody regardless as to who you are. I would say for white folks, it's just straight up embarrassing and you can't have it. Really.
It's really.
I saw Hidden Figures. Like black people, we put the white man in space. So, some stuff now is just no longer acceptable. I shouldn't say that as an elected official, but it's true.
Well, no, you could say, as an elected official, you still have freedom of speech.
Well, I saw the first black president walk out the door with a Nobel Peace Prize that arguably, and this is going to launch a fight. I'm not so sure if he earned it.
He definitely did not earn it. Of course, there's no fight.
Right.
He was elected. They gave him a Peace Prize.
But he did it Walking out the door with a white supremacist with blue eyes and blonde hair on death row. And what happened the night after he left work, after he was done? I was in Milwaukee at some of the protests, and I saw mostly white people in the street saying, down with white supremacy and the KKK. That's new, my friend. That's new. That has not happened before.
Wait a second. You're telling me that a segment of the white community hasn't come against the KKK and Nazism in this country?
No. What I'm saying is I've never seen it in one of America's most segregated cities where you have 400, 500, 600 people in mass in the street declaring this is the end of the line, we won't tolerate this. And it was mostly white people with a sprinkling of people of color. I've not seen that. But then again, I've only been on Earth 32 years and a week.
When was your birthday?
January 15th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Same day as MLK, by the way.
Very cool.
Yeah, the family was very proud of that.
I bet. So when you see somebody, and there's a truck that drives by the gingerbread house all the time with a Confederate flag. When you see a Confederate flag, do you just assume that they are white supremacists?
Well, you have to ask the question, why does a person have something that is a symbol of literally keeping people as property? You have to remember African Americans are literally the only group of people within the United States that required a constitutional amendment to make them human. Some of the others that followed after the 13th included other people, indigenous people, Latinos that had been here and so forth. But principally, the 13th really only applies to black Americans. It's the only group of people that needed that.
And now it applies to everybody, including LGBTQ
community
members.
Not quite. When you think about the history of policing, part of that is derived out of the Fugitive Slave Act. It's neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall be duly convicted within the United States or her jurisdictions. That's what it says. And then you look at what's going on with Black Lives Matter and you really have to wonder, is the 13th really for everybody?
When you said that there were some of your colleagues on the Kenosha County Board that were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Were they shocked with the fact that you wanted to make this resolution or with the fact that you thought that it was needed?
I would say neither. I think they're used to some of this from me by now. I think they were shocked by the fact that it was said out loud and without trepidation and without shame and was not preceded by a private conversation either. There's a street that I can take you to where the first house has Confederate sympathizers with an Australian flag outside their house. Look at the Aborigines. It doesn't take too much math to figure out what that's about. 2 and 2 makes 4. But next door to that house is a Latino family. Next door to that house is a middle-aged white gay man. And then you turn around, actually on the same corner of that street is a black family. You turn around and with your back facing that side of the street and face the other one, there's a building on the second floor is a white woman with two biracial kids. The house next door to that is a white man. The house next door to that is a late middle-aged white woman who's a union, you know, deep blue, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. So my point is that my community has everybody and I can't afford for it to get crazy. That's really what this is about.
How many times during your tenure in office have things gotten crazy?
On a personal level, I would say probably maybe four or five. I mean, I remember when I was running for state assembly in 2012 and was in the 4th of July parade, there was a whole crop of people along the parade route that had said, go back to where you came from. I'm like, well, my birth certificate says Chicago. I know folks don't like fibs, but my daddy was a doctor in Racine. He was chair of the GI unit. So even though I'm a fib, I'd like to think I have some cred here. So there was that. I mean, there was, you know, the couple of guys that decided to stop me on the street outside the house with the Confederate flag and the Australian flag and try to have some words and approach me. So, I mean, there's a number of things in Kenosha that have happened that are just beyond the pale of what should be acceptable for any human.
He is David Hallman. He is the supervisor of the 7th District of the Kenosha County Board. This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst on Community Conversations for a Tuesday morning brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. You know, when someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it is time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. For over 45 years, St. Monica's Senior Living has been providing compassionate, person-centered care for their residents on North Green Bay Road in Racine. St. Monica's really is like home with great food, a loving staff, and a lot of activities to participate in. One of the things people love about St. Monica's, Mark, is what?
The chapel, the beautiful chapel.
The beautiful chapel, indeed. It's a Catholic mass is held there every day. They also host Protestant services, and all religious denominations are welcome. Even minority religious denominations, apparently. The move to assisted living is a big decision. Come see why St. Monica's is the right choice for so many. Schedule your tour of St. Monica's Senior Living today by calling 262-639-5050 or visit them online at stmonicasseniorliving.com. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations with Mark Eichhorst. David Hallman is a supervisor in the 7th District of the Kenosha County Board. Is your dad still practicing in Racine?
He is not. He has decided that he had some other things that he wanted to do, and so he's moved on to do those.
You talked about the things that you personally experienced. Have some of your constituents also reported to you that they've experienced violence or what would be considered hate crimes?
I've had transgendered members who've talked about being harassed. I've had people of color who've talked about some of their interactions with law enforcement. So, I mean, I hear things from all corners of the community about a variety of things, and my job is to address them in the most honest, comprehensive fashion.
If the resolution is not passed,
we won't even go there.
Why?
Because once your youngest member has told you that you have KKK sympathizers and white supremacists, you know, and skinheads in your community, and you don't listen, then you are taking the consequences upon your own shoulders, and that's not something that I would advise anyone to do.
But what happens if it is turned down? What is your next step?
Oh, there isn't one. I just simply look at them and say, then you accept the consequences of not taking a stand.
But what does the resolution do? The
county board speaks in ordinances and resolutions. As the voice of the county board, we would be drawing the line saying this is not acceptable as part of our community, not acceptable as part of our democracy. And we're better than this. We're better than this.
Are there hate crime laws in Kenosha County or in Wisconsin?
There are national hate crime laws. As far as the state goes, off the top of my head, which I should know the answer, I don't. I know with changes in governors and attorney generals, things get murky. We'll just say that.
What does the future hold for David Hallman?
I think right now I'm just focused on making sure that everybody is okay, that they feel like they're heard, that they feel that they can get justice, that they feel that they're cared for, no matter who they are. And it sounds like a line, but I'm really being honest. I mean, my whole history and my background speaks directly to that. So if they see fit to put me somewhere else to do something, then, you know, that That would be appreciated.
This young person in Kenosha, a transgender high school student, yeah. That's been in the news a lot. Do you know who they are?
I do. That Ash was the grand marshal of our Pride Parade, which I helped co-found and organize.
And are they trans, boy or girl?
I would say boy.
So transitioning from girl to boy?
I believe so, yeah.
My daughter, Hannah, got married over 3 years ago, and she had a friend of hers who was transitioning from girl to boy stand up for her, and he played flute. His name is Aaron now. And
I'm wrong. Actually, it's girl to boy. Well, I'm wrong on that.
That's what you said.
Is it? Okay.
That's what you said, I think. But anyway, she was girl to boy, and she wore a tux as they were transitioning and got dressed with us in the guy's dressing room for the wedding. It was totally fine. How is he doing?
I know that someone reached out as a couple of days ago. We recently had a meeting for Kenosha Pride, and from what I understand, quite well.
Who do you think is being most, if you have to rank them, most prosecuted right now in the minority community? Is it transgender people? Is it Muslims? Is it gay people in general? I mean, if you had to rank them, I know it's hard, but who do you think feels the most under assault?
We don't rank. We don't rank. Everybody is worthy of love and respect, and therefore we do not rank.
But who do you think?
We do not rank.
We
don't rank.
I'm just asking your opinion.
It's not something that you should do. People have to learn to stop doing that, because when you do that, there are gaps and people get left out. That's how you get LGBTQ on the one hand, but nothing for people of color on the other. That's how you get something for women, but not necessarily the poor. Ranking is a bad idea and it needs to stop.
What has to happen for your resolution to pass?
Well, we got to bring it to committee, and then we got to get it to a floor and get a vote, essentially.
And how long does that take? Does that happen in one evening, or?
Well, typically it's two evenings. I mean, committee is one, and then, you know, if it makes its way, if it's an affirmative vote out of committee, then it goes to the full board, which would be essentially the next county board meeting. So,
do your fellow county board members hopefully then listen to their constituents?
If they get calls, if they get emails, if they get requests, certainly they will do that.
How many board members are there?
23.
And so you need 12 to pass. What's your sense right now?
I've not polled them. I typically don't. There are things about how I do politics that are different from anybody that you'll ever meet. This is one of them. My job is to present what I need to present and make a case in good faith. I do that.
What are some of the other ones that are so different compared to other politicians?
Well, I remember being in the county executive's office and not understanding. Because, I mean, you heard how I got into this. My background is in classical music. You know, I learned that people count votes when they have things that they want coming up. That's never been something that I felt like for the county board I could rely on. I know many of my supervisors individually well enough to understand how to talk to them. I don't own a car, so I've walked a lot of the city of Kenosha on foot.
How'd you get
some
here?
Of the county. That's a long story.
Well, you got a minute.
is why I was 2 minutes late. So, I mean, but because of that, I'm able to speak to them pretty directly, and I don't play the game of, well, you're not my constituent, so I won't talk to you. I talk to everybody regardless as to where you live. Everybody's my constituent, even if you're not in my district.
You said you ran for state representative.
Yes, sir.
And didn't win, obviously, or you wouldn't be in the county board anymore. Do you have any future plans to run for higher office, if I can use that term?
I will repeat what I said earlier, which is going to sound like a political line, and it halfway is, and that is my job is to make sure that people are loved, cared for, and are able to seek and obtain justice.
When you introduce your resolution, is there time for discussion, not only among the county board members, but is there public discussion welcome at that time?
Citizen comments. Any citizen can come at the start of any committee meeting or county board meeting and say whatever it is they want to say for 5 minutes. If you want to come and cuss us out, I suppose you can. You know, if the county board chair or a member requests that there be a, you know, open to the public during a county board meeting just before we vote, that can be done. If someone wants to do that, that's fine. I have no problems with that.
So people that are listening today, if they want to come and support you, that day, when do you have a date when this will happen?
Not as of yet. It has been given to the clerk's office, so now it's just going to be up to our county board chairwoman to send it to committee.
He's David Hallman. He's been on Community Conversations, brought to you by the St. Monica's Senior Living. He is the supervisor from the mighty 7th District of the Kenosha County Board. Good luck with this.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back. You need a ride back to Kenosha?
I'll be okay. I made it here. I can make it back.
I believe you, brother. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
Your tremendous Tuesday hour of power. We pause to acknowledge that knowledge is indeed power. Follows WRJN Covering the World at 11 o'clock.
Pipelines, environmental regulations. I'm Chaz Henry. A source close to the decision-making says President Trump is expected to take executive action to advance construction of the Keystone XL and Dakota Access oil pipelines. And at a breakfast this morning with auto company executives, the president promised to ease environmental regulations to encourage more